Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but just for today, as I get a little cocky if I get into amounts of time, but I am grateful for that today. My topic today is about change, and it's a lot about the six and seven step along with the 10th step. And what I'd like to start with actually is these are words right out of the big book. Because one of the things that I love about the Big Book is when most of us came into this program, we were interested in vanity. We wanted to lose weight and we wanted it done now. But for me personally, every time I heard that word change, my ears, it was kind of like Charlie Brown with the adults, wah, 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 because I was unique. I didn't have to do those things. I had my easier, softer way. Which again, on page 58, which I always refer to, has always been my biggest problem, because we know that the first victim of disease is the truth. I just cannot be honest with myself. And that took a long time. And there's still days when I have to say, God, I know I'm doing it again, so give me some help here, because I want to go back to being the way that I want to be. And it says on page 58, we thought we could find the easier, softer way. And of course, I've heard herself also said many times that if that's the case, why don't you just go out there and do a little more research? And so, yeah, I did. I did about 28 years more of it. I'm glad today, just for today, I'm not into the research business anymore. I'm kind of looking at the solution a lot more. So here's some words and some of the things that we said. Bill doesn't talk about alcohol a lot. He really doesn't. But the thing I learned in this meeting is in all these the meetings I went in, especially vision, is when people looked up words and started to really look at individual words. So let's take a look at some of the words I found just very quickly going through. And one of my favorites is when with Dr. Young, emotional displacement, just the word change in general, rearrangement, a new set of conceptions. We must smash home willing. And then the other word that I really like, there can be no lurking notion. No more letting my mind snap shut. I had adopted parts that seemed convenient in the past, not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. And there were still vestiges of my old prejudices. And we know the more my favorite one from Herbert Spencer, which I've understand from Harlan, is really not Herbert Spencer. Contempt prior to investigation, spiritual experience. So these were all things that I really, really had a problem with. And I had to learn that my ideas about everything had to be revised. Again, the key word is change. So how did I go about this? Well, this is where I want to kind of focus on some of the things that really helped me. Okay, once I did my fourth step and my fifth step, and I was one of those people that thought, well, because I heard, well, the fifth, sixth, but that's really easy. That takes just say you're going to do it. But I didn't get it because I'm a slow learner. Okay. I had to understand that when I did the sixth step, okay, I was doing it to make a change in what I learned about myself in the fourth step, that these things were no longer sustainable. And I have to practice letting go of them with the sixth and seventh step. And the steps, the six and seven step are very much a fulcrum to these action steps that we know are 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. It's letting it go from what was to what will be and how to sustain it. And that's the thing, it's sustainability. I find it very interesting in my own recovery now, being back in program almost 3 years, that I see these things where I thought I was still under the impression like, I'm going to be. This God consciousness, never, nothing's ever going to be a problem again. And that's just such a line of baloney. But now it's the ability for me to recognize, oh, this is just old stuff, Anne Marie. It's okay. Remember, you don't have to be perfect. Again, my favorite word right now, practice makes progress. No more perfection. I've learned a word to take the place of the word perfection. And that's really important to me. So again, I'm shifting my ideas. I'm thinking about what can be. And we know that when we do a 10 step, we have the ability to do what? Steps four, steps excuse me, steps 5 and 6, all of them all the way through. And then 11, 12, 11 and 12, because we're going to turn our minds to somebody else. And that's where, excuse me, could you stop making that noise? Thank you. The sustainability, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. The sustainability comes from the fact that I'm doing it now and I don't need other validation. Each day I get better at them. And that's why also for me, the 10th step is such an important aspect of my recovery. You know, I took Kim G's 10-step workshop and I was amazed at what I learned about myself, that I needed to do these. This morning, I was in the beginning of a meeting and just the way something separated, I had to do a 10-step. And I realized right away it wasn't, you know, it was nothing that she did. It was just, I don't want to react to that kind of thing anymore because it can mess up my day. Okay. So I have to, for me, there, I never realized how important the 6 and 7 step were until I came to this meeting and heard another person talk about it. And I need to be hearing it constantly, just like I need to read the big book by being a sponsor and bringing it through with new people so that I hear things or recognize things that maybe I didn't understand the first time, or maybe I just didn't even think of it that way. There's never going to be an end. I'm never going to arrive, but I can continue to practice daily to make the progress and to see my own recovery evolve. When I say, okay, I won't resist the change, because, you know, I fought with my sponsor about certain things. Well, I'm not going to do that, you know? And, you know, and I thought I had my stuff all together. And this is what I love when I hear other people talk about long-term recovery. And they say, you know, I was in this program thinking I was fine for 5 years. And then I realized I'm still full of it. That's where I am today. I don't think I'm as full of it as I used to be. But there again, you never know. And that's why I have to develop this higher power. And the way I, you know, my relationship with my higher power, because, you know, I want to feel well, I want to feel right. And I always want to feel like I'm better than you. That was the old Anne Marie. Each day she learns that that's not important, as long as I then also become altruistic in my ideas and care about other people more than me, 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 as we like to say. So again, holding on to these things and not being recognized. And I find that a lot with new people. I hear them say, oh, well, I'm going through the steps. But then they're telling me about all the problems they're having. And I say, okay, that's great. Maybe you make a suggestion. Have you done any 10 steps? Have you maybe taken a look lately at what your character defects were? Do you see any of that stuff coming through? Because, you know, there again, I know we're over and done with it in a way, but if we've gone to step 6 and asked God to remove certain things that we were doing, you know, so that I can be a better service to him, then, you know, there again, I'm not going to be gobsmocked just in a minute by saying, oh, gee, do that. And so he's going to do it for me and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm never, ever going to want to gossip again, which was one of my huge character defects. But yeah, I find that I don't really want to do it. And I have ways to deal with it now. I don't have to people please or try to get the excitement out of that. That's the change. And let me go back to those words, rearrangement of thoughts, a new set of conceptions. Gee, it never occurred to me I could just not say anything. For me? Are you kidding me? I have to have an opinion on everything and I got to talk. You know? But I don't have to talk in negative ways. And, you know, I don't have to say, well, I don't want to do that because I'm better than that. You know, that isn't good. You know, that's again kind of going, oh, aren't I just the best? There again, that's a little bit of ego. So one day at a time, and I go back, and again, I look at those prayers. I say them every morning, the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer to remind me. And then, I, of course, I try to do my 10 steps as many times as I can a day. And if I can't, I'll do a spot check. If I can't get a hold of anybody, I'll do a spot check, send it to somebody, but I'll still turn and call someone else. Do those 10 steps as they are told in the Big Book. We don't have to reinvent them. I love that aspect of the Big Book, but everybody has their own way. That's fine. If that works for you, then you go ahead and do it. But for me, when people say, I just have a problem with the 10 step, I say, well, what's the problem? It's pretty, tells you right there what to do. And for me, because I was a person that didn't understand the opposite of many of my character defects, I had to write them down, what the antonyms of what the synonyms were for the different things that I did all the time, my selfishness, my dishonesty, and my expectations. I had to learn other words so then I could know what God would rather have me do. I'm still a work in progress. I'm always going to be a work in progress. I think I'm doing pretty good, quite frankly. I'm not ready to call suicide prevention as oftentimes as I used to, and I'm not looking in the refrigerator for the answer either. So, with that, I'm going to give you some questions here to ponder, and I will put them into the chat, but right now I'm going to read them. Now, I hope they're not too redundant, okay? But what they have to do, and again, I wrote down four different ones, but you can pick or whatever you want to do. But what I want you to, again, is think about this best you can, is about how seriously you took step six and seven. And do you look at it and help you with your emotional sobriety? Because that's what has helped me. Number one, share about how you have smashed old personal beliefs and how you have achieved serenity with these new beliefs. Number two, has fear and resentment crippled you from true emotional sobriety? Do I reassess my six and seven step when I fall into old behaviors? And number four, do I recognize the importance of doing the 10 step as written in the big book? So with that, I am going to let our timer time us for, I think we have, if I'm not mistaken, 7 minutes to write.
I have a little thing to say. We
Oh,
have
yes.
7 minutes for writing on the topic. Questions directly related to what was read will be read aloud as well as posted in the chat for people to think about. Then open sharing will take place and be recorded.
Thank you very
Okay,
much.
let's
Thank you.
please last until the end of the meeting. As you share your experience and strength in a way, please also share your hope. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. We ask everyone to respect our group conscience. We will now open the meeting for sharing. If you want to share, please use the prompt to raise your hand. Prior to sharing, please let the leader know if you do not want to be recorded. When you hear the moderator say time, please finish your thought. All righty. So we have first person here is Jan.
Hi, everybody. Jan L. here in Florida. So thank you, Anne Marie, for your leading the meeting and posing these questions. Let's see, the first one, because I need to pull up my chat. How have I smashed my old personal beliefs and how I have achieved serenity in these new beliefs. So I'm newly recovered, and I guess the best way I've smashed it is to know that I really, anything I thought I knew, I don't. I mean, this has been quite a revelation. My knowing is really a problem. It blocks God, it blocks other people, it blocks everything. So my serenity comes when I question everything. I mean, even when I get a gut feeling or a new, something I know comes from God, I have to still keep that door open because my ego and my knowing will take that and just get all excited and think, now I know. Well, that's a dangerous place to be in my head. So I just constantly need to remain open to more, and watch out for my thinking I know. So let's see, has fear and resentment crippled me from true emotional sobriety? Oh yes, definitely. So recently I recognized some truths about a fear, and it had to do with just being afraid I would relapse. I was having little slips here and there. And even once I got past that and recognized that I just wasn't trusting enough and worked through that, a day or so later, I realized, oh, somebody asked me to speak at something. Quite frankly, I don't know why I'm newly recovered, but anyway, they did. They sent me a text and, my first thought was, oh no, I can't do that. What if I relapse? I'm like, what? Like you're just not fully believing and trusting in this process that you work so hard at, are you still doing the checkoff sheet? I'll get this done, that meeting, that this step, this sponsee, blah, blah, blah. It's where is my heart? Where's my trust? So it's just always more, always more. And I know that's good. That's good. That's growth. So the third one, let's see, do I reassess 6 and 7 when I fall into old behaviors? Actually, this is a thing that I need to do better. I did make a list, but I'm so busy doing everything else. I just miss that a lot. I need to reassess 6 and 7. I need to look at my list, my old behaviors. I need to take them to God. And it looks like I'm about out of time. Oh, step 10. So that's still a work in progress, but I love them and I'm working on them. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jan. Veronica, you're next.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for moderating today and Anne Marie for taking the lead. So important, really. I really appreciated what you shared today. When we talk about, I know in the big book it says, smashing, I don't know if it's old beliefs, but it talks about smashing them. I prefer to say release because I feel that it's a process. I have had a spiritual awakening, but I've had a lot of awakenings in my life. And each awakening that I have in different areas of my life has been growth. So I think that coming into program and getting recovery through program is a whole other big step because, I had arrested development. And although I knew a lot intellectually, or I thought that I did anyway, and I felt that I was a helpful individual to many people, I still did not recognize a lot of my own issues because of the arrested development. I recognized big issues. But the things that were a little more subtle, that's where the 10th step came in. And that's where the 10th step to me is a master because that's where I'm letting God into the equation. And I like the way the big book does it because, first of all, I really like doing it with another human being because I feel like I can fool myself way too many times. I think it's a good idea when you can write it down. And in the toolkit, they do have an, I forget what they call it in the toolkit. I think it might be they call it the 10th step, but that's really good for some people. But for me, I find that I really need to talk to another human being. I sometimes really want to hear what they have to say. And I have shared before that I really only share with people that I feel comfortably safe with. And I have to get to know people. So for me, the 10th step has been a lifesaver. It's a pain reliever. And I'm going to be working on this arrested development for the rest of my life. I think even if I had all the things that I would have needed to have had to be emotionally more mature as I was growing up, I think I would still have things because I believe that's part of being human. So part of this program for me in the recovery is just being able to hang in there and know that you're always in a state of development, always in a state of grace, and that God is always present through all of this for me. Always and for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. Deb, you're next.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Anne Marie, for the topic. I think, Well, I think about my entry into the program, and I was a mess on so on physically, mentally, spiritually, and I had no idea. what I was doing and what was working and what wasn't working. But this is a spiritual program to deal with a physical and emotional disease. And I realized that I had to change if I expected to have any recovery because what I was doing on all three levels wasn't working. I was in the food, I was the person that was described in step three, selfish, self-centered. So over time, I think my realization is that my creator affected the change in me. I wasn't able to smash anything. I sort of surrendered these things. And I think most important for me were step, in terms of my recovery, step six and seven, because if I did a four or I did a 10, and I saw these character defects come up, I'd go to six, because there were times when I wasn't ready. And so what I learned in studying this stuff is that I had to be willing to release it and do the opposite behavior, but the inclination to do it was something only God could do. It's like with stealing, I stopped stealing, but the inclination was still there. And doing seven and asking God to remove it so that I could be more useful, I could be more productive, et cetera, is what affected the change. Some things took longer than others. I still have issues, for example, with my brother, and I continue to work on it, to let it go. But I've learned to use the things we look at step 10 as an invitation, not as a judgment. The invitation being, hey, Deb, are you willing to go a little further in your work? What are you going to do with this? How, you know, so I get to decide, do I want to change even more? Do I want to stand still? And what I've learned in program is that my tolerance for discomfort and disturbance is lessening. I am less tolerant of my resentments and my anger and my fears. Very uncomfortable for me. So I can move through it a little more quickly. I mean, I jump into the solution a lot sooner because I don't want to be disturbed anymore. I've had enough of that in my life. So the steps for me are my way out of disturbance. And to me, that creates the change to move from disturbance to peace. So
thanks, Deb. Kathy.
Oh, change, change, change. I have such a strong will that I thought, well, I don't need to change. And I think over this last year, since I came back to like some big book meetings in December of 2022, I became willing out of desperation because I had gotten up to 330 pounds as a, I guess I'm 5'1 now, I've shrunk. I was ashamed to say that, but you know what? It is what it is. That's desperation. I was having a lot of, you know, health issues, and I thought, you know, you're killing yourself. So change was a big thing for me. I was willing to put down and did 180 degree turn on my food. That was life-changing for me. I'd never been willing. I first time in my life I'd ever given up white flour because I didn't even know if I was allergic to it, but I was willing to let it go because I'd always relapse. I would be good for like six months, maybe 50, 60 pounds, and then I'd relapse. So so that was a big change for me. Another thing that I'm working on, and I'm not saying that I'm there 100%, is letting go. I've had a couple of big things happen to me lately, and I would have stewed over them. I would have eaten over them. You know, I would have just lashed out. You know, my mind still wants to lash out, but by doing 10 steps, which I think are critical for me, I don't always recognize that something's so small that I should do a 10 step, but somebody goes, oh, you want to do a 10 step? And I go, oh, that's really a good idea. So I'm learning that. But letting go to God that I don't have, I cannot control the outcome. So just putting it up over here and letting God handle it for me. And so I'm really learning that a lot. Yes, I lived in fear and resentment. I'm a work in progress, you know, of letting go to God. And, you know, with you guys, with the steps, with the program, with the big book meetings that I go to, I'm really learning and sponsor things like that, really learning to continue to let go of more and more stuff. It wasn't real easy for me just to cut it and let go and put everything to God because, you know, I'd done such a great job my whole life. You know, how could I let it go? And, but there's a lot of freedom in that change and letting it go. And so 10 steps are definitely very, very important to me, and they're saving my life today. And I think the sixth and seventh step is also part of letting go, you know, for me. So I guess that's all I've got on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Cheryl, you're next.
Hi, everyone. I am Cheryl. I don't know how we, I'm new to this meeting. I don't know how we address ourselves through our addiction, but I am been in program for 36 years. So I don't know if this is an OA meeting, or I know it's a focus on emotional variety, which, gosh, you know, this is just at the heart of it, particularly being in recovery for a while, because on the outside, it's so easy to look like a recovered person and not have emotional or spiritual sobriety in the meantime. So the question I answered was, how have I smashed old personal beliefs, and how have I achieved serenity with new ones? I want to give an example. So I have had a belief since I was a little girl that somehow I was deficient or inadequate. That's a belief. And this has been around since I was 9 years old. Today, I have voices that tell me that, but I don't believe them anymore. And the reason I don't believe them is because I've worked the steps, I've gotten underneath of it, and I know now that I have to challenge the voices in my head. I also don't need to engage with every thought in my head. So if something comes up, I have to identify, is it a feeling or a character defect? And if it's a feeling, or if it's a resentment in particular, I do my 10th step. If it is a character defect that's bumping up, then I go straight to asking God to remove that and become willing to let it go. If it's a fear, then I'll work through sort of a fear oriented inventory around that. But I got to get to the outer layer of belief, because it's the outer layer that that's causing me, you know, the disruption. And I used to stop there, and I've learned that that's no different than just cutting away the branches of the trunk of this big old tree that is just blocking my view. And if I keep cutting away the branches and cutting away the branches and cutting away the branches, they're going to go back, and they're going to go back, and they're going to go back. And I'm going to do 10 steps till I'm, you know, to my last moment. But if I don't get to that level of this, what it says, if I smashed personal beliefs, the emotional sobriety and the spiritual sobriety doesn't really come. So what I've learned to do, I think Deb mentioned this earlier, is to really look at what is the opposite of what is the outer layer of my experience. What is it? Because if I just stop at I am avoiding, and I leave, you know, and I stop at that character, thank you, I'll finish up that character defect, and I don't get to what's on the other side of it, you know, I just kind of swirl round and round. So then I get to choose my beliefs. And then the last thing I'll say about how I'm cheating serenity with new ones is I just repeat them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again through affirmations and talking about it and sharing about it. And I'm over my time, so I will stop. But thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, Cheryl. Nancy, you're next.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I looked over the different questions, and I thought I would just pick one, because I was a little overwhelmed with all the questions. So I picked the one about the 10th step and how that's been so important for me as a change thing in my life. And it really has. And I tried to think of something that actually happened, you know, kind of something concrete that's happened recently. And I thought, my husband and I are thinking about possibly buying a second home in another state. Just thinking about it, it got me so nervous, where it was bothering me in my sleep. Just, should we, shouldn't we? What state should we go to? Should we rent first? What state should we rent in? what would happen if we got sick while we were there? Is that a good, you know, all the things that go through your head that make you crazy. It's an old pattern of mine, is just to have things going round and round in my head. Well, what did I do differently this time? Well, it took me a day or two to even realize how wound up I was about it. And when I finally realized how upset I was about this, I thought, I've got to do a 10th step about this. So the very first person who happened to call me that day, I said, would you mind if I do a 10th step? And they go, oh, sure, that's fine. And I went ahead and I found out that the resentment, the fear, all the fears connected with it, all the resentments connected with it, all the selfishness of me wanting to have everything my way, and the dishonesty, all how I was catastrophizing over everything. I went into depth in those things with the person on the phone. And then I asked God, just like it says on page 84, I asked God to remove those defects. And when I do that, I always feel like, okay, now it's on God's shoulders. Just picture big, broad shoulders. It's on God's shoulders. I didn't owe any amends. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to just trust God's going to guide me in this. I'm going to get the right thoughts. I calm down because you're not handling it anymore. Your higher power is handling this. And you know what's so amazing about it is this really works, because every time I start to think about this, and I do think about it every day because I get on my phone, I get tons of emails and texts from realtors in these different states that we kind of looked at on Zillow. And so I'm going to end because I think my time is up, but I want to say how much this has helped me. I just trust that I'm going to be led in this, and so I can let go of it in a way I never could before this program. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy. Barb, you're next.
Good afternoon, everyone, and top of the morning to you, I can see by your screen, even though it's a little early for March. I'm Barbara E., a volume compulsive eater, born that way, will stay that way. But I don't have to die that way. That's my choice. I missed what we were asked to write on because I came in a little late, had some workers here. So I just wrote a little bit down about what is on my heart today. I've taken so many geographical tours and cures in my life. Pills, shots, diet camps, migrating from one pay and way group to another, psychologists, even snapping a rubber band around my wrist when I wanted to eat. And you know, most of those things worked, except the rubber band. That just hurt. And I didn't really understand the concept of balance, physical, emotional, and spiritual. But they said, stay around for 10 meetings, and if you're unhappy, we'll refund your misery. So I stayed around for 10 meetings and 10 meetings more, but I still thought the program was just another diet. So I struggled and resisted the spiritual and emotional elements. I wanted to be the perfect, the best in the room. I wanted to do every job perfectly. I wanted to be the smartest, the most evolved, the thinnest in the gym. And because my mind told me I wasn't, I didn't go to the gym or make phone calls as my sponsor suggested I do, because I was large and in charge and I thought I knew everything. And if I didn't do anything, no one could criticize my weight or tell me they were too busy to talk or judge me if I didn't contribute to a meeting. Whatever it was I thought I wanted to have had to be perfect, and I judged other people by their flaws, but the most harsh and unrelenting critic was me. I judged myself a failure, a loser, incapable of getting this program and reaching that magic number on the scale. So I gave up, and you know what that happens? I would get first have a sliver, then a slice, then a slab, and a slob. And then I was deep in the hole I dug for myself, and I couldn't possibly see my way out until someone reached down and offered me a hand and helped me one step at a time. Because for me, for my desire to be perfect led to paralysis analysis. So if I did nothing, then nothing was what I got. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful Wednesday.
Thank you, Barb. Would anyone else like to share? I'll go, and then you can think about what you're going to say, and you can be next. And my name is Carol Ann, compulsive eater in California. And I really like what you had to say, Anne Marie, about the change that we all need to work on. And the shares have really helped me a lot too. And I have to do the 10th step, and it's a reminder how my character defects keep popping up. Now they're not as drastic as they used to be, but and what someone else said, that they see the character defects, and what's behind that character defects? How is that affecting your life? And my sponsor and I are reading the Drop the Rock, and it's the basis of 6 and 7 steps, and we're doing that paragraph by paragraph like the Big Book study, and it's helping a lot. And this emotional sobriety that I have most days is such an improvement in how I feel and how my life has changed. It's just makes my life so much better. And as someone said, beyond my wildest dreams, that's for sure. And I see Mary's ready to share. Mary?
Hi, I'm Mary, compulsive reader from Arizona. And thank you, Anne-Marie and Carol, for moderating. And Anne-Marie, I appreciated your talk. You know, when I first came into program, I did not understand that I had to change. I just thought, you know, my only problem really is that I'm fat. If I lose weight, I'll be okay. And so, you know, when I finally did get into a way of doing OA that, you know, really emphasizes the tools, it emphasizes the food plan, it was very strict, you know, and I learned some discipline in my life, which as long as it was external, I had discipline. I did not have interior discipline. And I realized that when I said here, how, see how you smashed your old personal beliefs. Well, you know, for years, I just thought everything that was wrong in my life was outside of me. And, you know, I realized that that was something that I had to only look at once I was aware of it. And that took years, literally. And I didn't learn it in OA, I have to say. I actually, you know, had a personal crisis in my life where I thought, wow, if, you know, I'm the only person I can change. And if I don't change, you know, everything in my life will fall apart. And so I went to another 12-step program based on, you know, qualifiers. And, you know, I had to use my grandfather's as my qualifiers. But what I discovered just shocked the heck out of me. I discovered that I was the problem. I had no clue that I had to change. That's how deluded I was. And what I find in my recovery is that there are other delusions that I may not even be aware of. One of them has been that delusion that, you know, because I've been in a normal body size since 2006, I'm going to someday morph into this normal eater. And it's going to allow me to do whatever my sisters do or whatever my husband does. And, you know, that I hopefully got smashed 2 years ago when I had a Fred experience and picked up. And, you know, I would have told you yesterday that I broke my abstinence. Today I said I was really in relapse, because when I look back, my relapse started way before I had the experience of eating outside of my food time. My relapse started with, okay, what can I get away with? Let me try this again. You know, maybe, and I'm not aware of this. You know, I'm not really thinking this, although I do have these little voices that said, you know, you're not supposed to have that extra grape, or, you know, you really need to do that. And I'd say, well, you know, that's so rigid. I really don't need to do that. And again, you know, my wanting to be normal. I just want to be a normal body size and able to do that. I think that fear and resentment have been a major part of keeping me from emotional sobriety. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Alex, you're next.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here, Alex, compulsive eater. I picked up on that idea of the emotional rearrangement. It reminded me of a friend who says program rearranges her brain cells. And I feel like that's true. That's what happens for me, that part of the rearrangement means that thought patterns and behaviors that were normal for me before no longer feel comfortable. Just like compulsive eating used to seem like the best idea ever, no longer seems like a good idea at all, or even comes up as an idea. Engaging my defects becomes uncomfortable and not such a good idea. And I'm more aware of them and the pain they cause me, and I'm able to pause and consider a better way. And that's part of being restored to sanity, being able to have that pause and do things differently with my higher power's help. And of course, I'm human, and I think I'll always have defects and they'll pop up now and then, and they do sometimes. And sometimes I'm unwilling to change because they're familiar and change is scary. But the progress is that I definitely see that I go to my defects a lot less than I used to, and I recognize them much more quickly when they come up. And I see that I have a choice. I can stay in that painful place. I picture it like, you know, I'm in the quicksand, or I can ask for help and be in the sunlight of the spirit with my higher power, where it's beautiful and peaceful and quiet. And so those are my choices. I'm in the disease of my defects, or I'm with my higher power, and using the steps to get back to peace and relief. And I love the simplicity of the big book, Step 10, and it always helps me get to what's eating me and give it to my higher power, and then move on and try to be of service. But sometimes if the defect keeps popping up, then I do need to look at step 6 and 7, whether I'm really surrendering it to my higher power. Am I really willing to be changed? And look at what the defect is doing for me and to me, the payoff and the cost. My time's almost up. It really comes down to trusting my higher power. You know, the stronger my connection with my higher power, the more I trust that my higher power's way is better than my way, much better than my way, of course. And I'm grateful for progress. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Tony. Anyone else like to give a shout out? Welcome you to the meeting. I have time for a couple more. Maybe one. It's time to make that change.
Hi, this is Melissa. I'd like to share.
Okay, Melissa, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for that amazing lead with those questions. I unfortunately didn't get to write on it, but I will try answering them as I share. It says, share about how you have smashed old personal beliefs and how you have achieved serenity with these new beliefs. Well, in regards to my eating, I haven't smashed my old beliefs yet. And that is a work in progress. And I am working on it. But with my other addictions, they have been relieved. And I have achieved serenity, especially off mind-altering substances. So I'm very grateful for that. And step 6 and 7 really helped me with that. And step three was huge for me. And that's where I'm at right now with OA. Number two, have fear and resentment crippled you from true emotional sobriety? Yes. Yeah. And I notice when I do my 10th step, there's an app. It's got the face of Bill W. And there's an app where you could actually type in your 10th step and save it and send it to your sponsor. And that's what I do, but I have not done my 10th step in a while. And I'm realizing with the eating, I feel that my 10th step working it would really help me. And I'm noticing I'm having a lot of resentment lately. And I have to go back to my list of defects and look at them and pray on them. Every morning I do the morning prayer. I do the step 7 prayer. And I do the serenity prayer and I ask God, please remove my defects, align my will with yours. I use a God box. But then by sometime in the afternoon, I'm not using my tools and I just act on impulse. And I think remembering that, I got to do my 10th step though tonight. I think that would help me. And do I recognize the importance of doing the 10th step as written in the book? Absolutely. That's what I was just saying. And do I reassess my 6th and 7th step when I fall into old behaviors? Yes, I do. My problem is I want to control and I have to surrender. When it comes to my eating, it's been really hard. But I feel that the more support I get in this program, the more I shall be relieved. And I feel that meditation really helps as well. There's a lot of meditations on certain apps that help compulsive overeating and listening to different podcasts. And
that's fine.
Thank you. The more support, the better, right? So thank you so much. And thank you for your service.
Thanks for sharing. Now it's time to close. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, please let it stay here. Thank you for allowing me to be your leader today, and thanks to all who did service, read, and shared. After a moment of silence, will those of you who wish, please join in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change, the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you very much. And I understand, Veronica, somebody will stay after the meeting for a few minutes if you wish to.
I'm going to have. We have a web. You're asking.